Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America. This is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
That's right, it is. It is Old School. Welcome in here on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Hope everyone's staying safe, happy, healthy, and warm in these few days here post-Christmas. Thanks for making us a part of your day, as always. 402-464-5685. If you want to be a part of the show, you can on our Sartor Heyman Jewelers text line. Jay Foreman, I got to tell you, that prime rib from the Mercado, oh yeah, oh yeah, it hit. It was hitting.
Did you cook it or
come on, Jay.
That's why
come on.
Because you know when you cook it, you can't eat as much.
That part.
It always tastes better when somebody else is cooking for you.
It sure does. I do have to tell you, Jay, it's not high end or anything, but Christmas at the in-laws, I was gifted a charcoal smoker for Christmas.
Oh,
I didn't
it don't
have
matter, but what the high end is just the fact that you got a smoker. You on your way.
I'm on my way. I have yet to break it out. Obviously, it's a little chilly. Didn't have the briquettes for it or anything. But I have to tell you, pulled pork, it's coming.
Oh, I know. Brisket. When was your birthday?
Actually, in 6 months. It's my half birthday today. Thanks for asking.
Well, we might get you a birthday present and my birthday, New Year's present.
Deal.
Yeah. Yeah, you well on your way, man. There's nothing like getting your first grill.
I have a grill, man. Just a smoker.
Yeah, your first, that's when you really, everybody has a grill, but get your first smoker.
Yeah.
Now you know, now you'll understand, especially now that you got a little one.
Mm-hmm.
Just put your little AirPods in, try to get them to sleep, and then you just sit there and watch the cooking videos.
I'll send
you. Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
You got my digits.
You well on your way.
What is the first? Do I have to start with like a pulled pork? Is that simple enough, or should I go bigger for the first thing I smoke?
Depends on what you like. Pulled pork is pretty easy. It's foolproof. I know.
Yeah, I haven't tried it yet, so let's not say that too loud.
A little time consuming. You just got to make sure you get the temperature right, and depending on the grill, you got to do some research. And plus, it's gonna take a little while for you to get it seasoned and stuff. So you'll know your equipment. But
you think I season my meat? Yeah, I season my meat.
Yeah, you season your meat, but you know, I don't know about your grilling skills yet. So I think I think it's just going to take some time. Nobody starts off as an A1 griller. I'm not even that as well. There's guys that obviously probably better on the grill than I am, but I enjoy it though.
That's what it's about, right?
Yeah.
Getting outside, picking your feet up.
And trust me, you got family. They'll be your harshest critics. Don't worry about it. You'll know whether then once you get past them, you know, then you'll be able to take your skills out anywhere.
Here's the issue though, is so my dad did most of the grilling, obviously on my side. Mom could fire it up a little bit. I'm just learning, but my father-in-law, he's got like a custom smoker.
Yeah.
Took a vacation just this last fall, like the barbecue tour. He's all into it. So I'm asking for his help, like to get started, because he has the most experience with it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's going to be a day where I'm going to be audacious enough to try to bring some meat that I smoked up to the in-laws. There's going to be a comparison that's not going to go my way.
That's all right. That's the only way that you get good at. I mean, I remember the first time that I ventured off on my own. My dad was in town. I think I had he wrote down all the things I needed to do better. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You know, it was a periodic. Dang. So yeah, but I mean, that's good, because I mean, I grew up watching my dad, my grandfather first, my dad, my grandfather learned when he served, you know, so they had to find a way to, they had to make some, you know, essentially chicken salad out of chicken, you know what, they didn't have a lot of supplies. And so he taught my dad, my uncles, and you know, obviously distant, you know, relatives, close relatives, and then just went off from there.
My biggest issue, I can tell you already, is going to be the patience. I am such a micromanager. I'm going to want to open that smoker door all the time to check on it. And I have to resist the temptation.
You got to trust it.
I'm so bad at that.
But I got a perfect... See, that used to be the problem. But now, once you know how to set your coals and get the temperature where you're at, and when that comes from knowing your grill, also knowing the type of coals that you want or that you use, there's different types there. You got a whole bunch of issues.
Man.
Yeah, you're going to be up late. But you won't feel tired because it's fun. I mean, for me, I wouldn't say it's relaxing, but it's something I enjoy, you know, and I feel like you're always learning. I mean, there's different parts of the country that grill different ways, you know, and so, sure. And I've been able to live in all different places. So I've kind of been able to, I was exposed to, you know, every coast and how they do things.
2086 says St. Louis ribs are a good starter. Ben says, if you're looking, you ain't cooking.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a problem for me.
No, you got to make sure your stuff is right, man. You got to make sure you don't want to have flame ups. You got to be, you know, direct heat versus indirect heat. You got to understand. You got to be in it.
I read the instructions and the first thing was, well, make sure that you properly drain everything and it's properly coated, because if you don't, it might blow up. Cool.
Oh, you just got to season it. Don't just open up the grill and go right to grilling. You're going to have to just season it first.
Take some time. Yeah.
Because listen, the better, it's like changing your whole oil in your car. The better you treat your car, the better your grill will be for you long term.
I'll keep you posted on the saga. Obviously, it'll be a couple months. I got a little while to wrap my brain around it until it gets nice. But just know, I'm on my way. Yeah, I have acquired a smoker.
You're well on your way. This is a great Christmas for you and me. Yeah, I get to bless you with some of my stuff.
It's true.
Yeah. I'm like, what? Obi-Wan Kenobi.
I'm Luke Skywalker.
Yeah. Yeah. You were my young Jedi Knight.
As my older son would say, Yuke.
Yep.
So he says Luke.
Yeah. Yuke. Yeah. You got you young Jedi Knight, man.
This is the smoker you're looking
for. When you start asking me bad questions, Austin, stop.
This is not the question. This is not the question.
You're doing too much.
402-464-5685. Speaking of doing too much, Jay, the University of Michigan continued to do too much to the point where it had to get rid of Sharon Moore and then fell butt backwards into Kyle Whittingham.
Man,
are you kidding me? Like, it's official. We could kind of see it coming. But for all the missteps that Michigan's had, they still end up with Kyle Whittingham as their coach. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I mean, for them, them and Penn State, for two, you know, blue blood programs to fall on their face by decisions that they made or continue to make or turn a blind eye to, obviously in Michigan's case, to find the two bell cow of coaches that fit their programs this late in the game.
Yeah.
Patience is a key. Michigan probably doesn't deserve Kyle Whittingham, but I think it's a great challenge for him to get a great coach.
Mm-hmm.
From everybody that I've talked to that went to Utah, you know, I know Luther Ellis a little bit, who went to Utah, and obviously he's a D-line coach up there. I mean, they talk about him glowingly. And I think he'll do well. I think he'll recruit well. He develops well. I think he's a tough-minded coach. He's a former linebacker. The only thing that's bad about him is he went to BYU. I'd like to ask him, what were you thinking? But then he went to Utah, built that program up to, you know, took it from Urban Meyer, and then obviously continued to build it up and reinvented that program two times, I think, two or three times over, and then switched different conferences, and nothing's changed. And you got to tip your hat to him. And Michigan, they didn't have anybody else to hire.
See, that's the point. They didn't have anyone else to hire.
Well, they could have got.
And this guy comes magically available. Yeah. Like, Michigan should have hired like some career coordinator. They should have gone and gotten like Pep Hamilton or something to run the program. They could have gotten like Jason Candle from Toledo.
They could have maybe if they really were serious and got Jed Fish.
Maybe.
Well, I mean, he'd been there. But you get Kyle Whittingham essentially for free.
That part.
So
yeah.
Timing is everything. It wasn't in their plans.
No.
I'm sure he knows it, but I think he knows he's such a good coach. One thing that you can tell from him. He's a former player, so you know the body language. Just look at him, and I've watched his program every time I can watch them. I mean, this is for years. This is back when, you know, nobody really was giving them a chance in hell to be successful. He has that confidence in himself that he's accepting all challenges. There's very few people or very few. There's not a lot of coaches that he's an old school coach with new school mentality. He will compromise, but he won't break.
Yeah.
And that comes from confidence, though. That comes from experience. That comes from actually having a lot of humility. And also what he does, two of my high school teammates went to Michigan a little bit young. I was a senior and they were, you know, younger, but we all, you know, text and stuff, obviously. Very welcoming right away. Got a mass text from him, you know, from both of them, you know, to both of them personally. Yeah. Or mass text to their group, but then obviously reached out to all of them as much as he can and will, you know, personally, as a former player. So he's very welcoming. So he's welcoming all the challenges.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's for him, as much as Michigan needed him, this is probably the spark to show Utah, like I told you so. I think the dynamics of how he left, if you listen for me, I don't know him. Mm-hmm. I just know for me. I've been there 21 years. We're number 15 in the nation. We are one game away from being in the college football playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And we've recruited, we've developed. I think the last two classes are the two highest ranked classes that he's ever had. So it lets you know he can recruit in the present time.
Still getting better.
Still getting better. And doesn't and up until the private equity money, hadn't had as much NIL money. So it lets you know his product that he's selling is definitely sellable and is real.
Yeah.
And that I wouldn't say he got pushed out, but you kind of got nudged out and you kind of got pressured on. And then now he's like, I think it's going to be like, I'm going to show you. And now I really got some backing. Now I'm going to guys and talking to guys that I mean, he's nationwide now. And I'm sure if he can retain some of those players that went in the portal just to do so, or said they were opting out of the bowl game. I imagine sitting down him with 10, 15 minutes, a lot of guys that would realistically contemplate changing their decision.
You think about the Utah team he had this year and then what Michigan had this year. Underwood feels like souped up Dampier.
Oh, he's supposed to be bringing the coordinator, right?
Supposed to be.
Offensive coordinator. Mm-hmm,
supposed to be.
Then he's bringing the defensive coordinator from BYU.
Yeah.
His boy. Mm-hmm. His longtime comrade.
Longtime boy. On top of the offensive lineman that you know Michigan's become known for, even if thrown more out the door. You had two first round offensive tackles at Utah. It feels like just transplanting it from Salt Lake City to Ann Arbor in some ways.
It seems like it'd be easy work.
Seems like.
I mean, he's seen a lot. He's been through a lot. He's not taking the Michigan job not knowing the eyesores that are already there,
yeah.
The landmines. He's not going to deal with that. He's not going to deal with that, and he's not going to do it. So all that stuff.
Well, because Kyle Whittingham's not taking this job for Michigan. Kyle Whittingham's taking this job for Kyle Whittingham.
Right. But this is like, I don't even know what to say. I mean, this is like, you know, getting fired from Cleveland. I can't even compare Cleveland Browns to Utah, but it's like getting fired from it's like Mike Vrabel. Getting fired from Tennessee at that point in time that you built Tennessee up, that were Tennessee. Remember, Tennessee went to Kansas City, beat them. Beat the Patriots at one point, Tom Brady's last game. He built them up to a well-established franchise in the NFL. He got fired, right? Because they thought they fired his GM and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Well, then here go the Patriots. And now look at him, 13-3, about to be 14-3.
Undefeated on the road, year one.
And he knows the pro, it fits him. So we'll see. I mean, you know, look, I mean, he's still got his work cut out for him, and it's not going to be as easy. You know, people are thinking like, oh, well, Michigan's just going to beat Ohio State. No, they're not.
No.
Stop. But Michigan can probably feel like, all right, we cheated for a national championship. We got one. Nobody respects us. We had a coach that we were allowing to do other things that we shouldn't have. And we just fell into one of the most respected coaches in the coaching industry right now.
Yeah.
On a 5-year deal, and now we can actually legitimately make our next move when he's ready to go.
Yeah.
Because he's a young 66.
Sure.
I mean, dude's still in great shape. My energy, you could just tell. Why everybody hate, people hate Michigan. They get away with everything. They deserve some like Division III coach that just, you know, just fell into something.
Exactly. Then said they end up with Kyle Whittingham.
Yeah.
Kyle Whittingham, Jay, walks into the Big Ten as a top what coach in the league? Top five, certainly, in the Big Ten. How many are there any, how many coaches are you taking ahead of Kyle Whittingham in the Big Ten right now?
Maybe two, maybe three. I don't know. I'm just kind of, I don't even know who the coach is. I'm just trying
so,
to, I mean, he's in
Day, part. Day or Whittingham?
Oh, probably, I'll just say Ryan Day just because he won that.
Won a title. He's been there before. Lanning or Whittingham?
They're right even.
Campbell or Whittingham?
Whittingham.
I agree. Fleck or Whittingham? Whittingham. Let's see. Bielema? Probably not. Ferentz?
I'll give Ferentz the head. I don't know.
Just because he's been in the Big Ten longer?
But they're all the same. Look, he's a Big Ten. That's why he was. That's why Utah was so good.
Yeah.
Late before they left the Pac-12 to go to the Big 12, and that's why they were giving the Big 12 the business. He played football like a Big Ten SEC team.
Yeah.
That was their off speed pitch. Yeah. That was the pitch that they couldn't hit.
Right. Just couldn't hang for 60 minutes.
So this is just rinse and repeat for him.
Mm-hmm.
So he's on par with everybody. I know he's very detailed. I mean, the every head coach is just a byproduct of their staff and support staff and analysts. And so if you can, and I'm sure he'll do that. You know, he'll go from there. I just can't believe it. I mean, I have to because he's obviously up there. I see him. You know, you don't believe it till you see him in the press conference. He has a Michigan shirt on.
It's, they have the picture of it right here on stream. Press conference, everything happened. It's official. Michigan lands Kyle Whittingham. Jay, I have to be honest, though. If I'm an Oklahoma State fan or if I'm Mike Gundy, I'm still thinking what could have been. Gundy had a chance to ride off like this. Now, Giddey had to come back after the year they went, I think, 10-4. It was. Yeah. And he wasn't leaving after that. It seemed like he had plenty ahead of him.
Yeah.
Then they collapsed two seasons ago, bring everybody back, including Ollie Gordon, who was, you know, top five, top 10 Heisman guy. They plummet to 3-9 with pretty much the whole team back. Would have been hard to get rid of him there, but if that's where he gets, you know, nudged out the door, I would have liked to have thought Mike Gundy would have had another stop in him, and maybe he still does. But after, you know, 4-11 in his last 15 games, never really winning the big one, I think Kyle Whittingham got the chance that Mike Gundy wishes he had.
Yeah. I mean, I think Mike Gundy's situation was probably a lot of undercover, swept under the rug details that led to the very end, which, you know, outside stuff led to on the field, you know, probably starting back some of his statements during COVID, you know, and all that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he wasn't able to outwin those bad feelings internally. And I think also, which also, it's obviously a more indictment of Oklahoma State where, you know, the success that Mike Gundy had with Oklahoma State and where he brought you to national prominence or national, you know, respect, you took for granted.
Yeah.
And maybe so did he, but he felt like he earned the right to walk away when he wanted. And then he kind of came back with his tail between his legs, not kind of, he did. And it was, he was never going to be successful this last year anyways. Then you didn't let him finish out the season. Well, Kyle Whittingham, I hope Utah didn't make the mistake that Oklahoma State did. They should, you know, hopefully other schools learn from that. But I think with Mike Gundy, now it's like, okay, what can be his next hurrah? Because Kyle Whittingham goes out at number 15. Okay. Legit.
Yeah.
Kyle Whittingham goes out as an old school coach that's actually adapted to new skill mentality in Utah. Gundy goes out as, I don't know, almost fired for cause. He had to take a pay cut to give all this stuff with it. And then they were like, all right, man, we're going to let you go like game eight. You know, after you get
game three.
Yeah. I thought it was four, but it's like you had eight games left. So it's a lot different, you know, situation. I think Mike Gundy could reinvent himself. You know, I'd like to see him, you know, maybe get on TV, take a year off.
Sure.
Right? Do the whole thing where you do all that.
The image rehab tour.
Right? Mm-hmm. No, but just get into it, because I think he can learn from that view.
Oh, sure.
Right? Mm-hmm. Find a spot and then make that thing really pop. It could be a Tulsa. I would have also said a place like maybe Arkansas, but they have a coach. A coach that, or a place that where his style of play, they need him mm-hmm. for a short period of time.
Yeah.
I think he could do some great, really, really good things.
Yeah, be okay being the bridge guy.
Yeah. But he would, but that bridge would be built by him. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Yeah. And there's no time frame on it, because he's a little bit younger, I think, than Winningham, maybe, I think. I don't know. He's had some rough nights, you know.
Yeah, Mike Gundy's 58. So, yeah,
so he has a little bit more time where he could actually build a program, and it has to be a unique place that where he fits. And I think Gundy can still do it. I think he still has some more juice in the tank. I think maybe he needed, I don't know. I think he would have liked to finish it out right there at Oklahoma State. But as we see sometimes, you know, you're probably the greatest quarterback in their history. Brought him the national prominence there with him and Hartley mm-hmm. Dykes and all those dudes. Come back as a coach, do the same thing, and you're just never able to maybe win Bedlam enough, right? When they probably should have, or were the years that they were supposed to win the Big 12, never did it, but you always produce great players. Mm-hmm. Something, it's like, it kind of reminds me of, like, obviously, like the Glenn Mason, Jerry Kill, and all those guys in Minnesota where, you know, he won consistently so much. Then you thought you forgot who you actually were. And now we're going to see where Oklahoma State is. You're going to see exactly where you are and what people think of you.
What's more likely for Dabo Swinney at Clemson? That he has the Kyle Whittingham exit, have a good year and leave, or the Mike Gundy goes up in flames?
Whew, you judge on this year, you're going up in flames.
Well, Whittingham didn't make a bowl last year or 2 years ago. They're below 500.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know. But do you think Dabo has the wherewithal right now to do so?
Doesn't seem like it right now. But then again, he's another guy that probably gets picked up pretty quick.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, I know that I don't know him personally, but he's talked openly like he would love to be at Bama at some point in time. That's where his whole football career started. So mm-hmm. I think Clemson has to be careful, though, with Dabo. And Dabo has to be careful as well.
Yeah.
Because his star has lost the luster. He is a very capable coach. But I think also his mentality probably needs to change some.
Sure.
He's bullheaded, rightfully so. And that's what happens when you're in those very, very small places. And that's, you know, Clemson is smaller than Lincoln.
Yeah.
So you think you're the king of the castle, and sometimes you don't realize there's other castles out there that have had plenty of kings.
Right.
And so you're nobody new, and so there's a lot more pressure. And so if Dabo wants to go to Bama, if he wants to go out on top, he has to figure a way to play better football, recruit better, develop better, and then while the ACC has now caught up to them, but they've gained 2 steps on them.
Oh, yeah.
They always were 3 steps ahead, talent-wise, coaching-wise. Well, you got to think, you lose Brett Venables. You bring in
Elliott.
Tony Elliott. Well. So you're two. And that's where he really made his hay. Mm-hmm. He developed Tony Elliott.
Yeah.
He, in some ways, developed Brett Venables. Venables was a really good coach, but he was able to kind of
get the best out of him.
Yeah, and grow himself there, too. Mm-hmm. Convince him to stay 3 or 4 times, you know, when he turned down Kansas State, I think, 2 different times.
Yeah. Then you'll get a hot shot in Garrett Riley to replace him. No real connection to him, but hey, here's the hot item.
And it was desperate.
Yeah.
And then you bring in Tom Allen.
Well, then you miss a quarterback.
Yep, missed a quarterback. When you really hit it out of the park, like
Taj Boyd to Deshaun to Trevor.
Taj Boyd to even the guy that Bryant that went to Missouri. He was really good that year. Yeah. Then you go to Watson, and then
Watson to Bryant,
and then Trevor. Mm-hmm. And then Kate Klubnik was really good last year, and then mm-hmm. but he didn't have. The running back that plays for the Panthers now, I forget his name.
Oh, yeah.
Staley. Is it Staley? No. He was number one.
I can picture him.
Yeah. So that was your 1,500 yard runner.
Yeah.
Behind that offensive line. That really, and then, you know, you just had injuries. So now Dabo has got to do a really good job of reselling the program, refocusing it, and when and it's hard to do right now when the easy thing for all these athletes to do, which is the wrong thing for the majority of them to do, is like, I'll just jump in the portal, right, or I'll try to hold you hostage.
You know that opens Friday, right?
Oh, I know it does. It's the portal's been open. There's guys been in the portal. I'll say this. I don't know which is more of the, and I know people are on the text line, I know you guys are going to light me up at this before we go to break. I think you passively, aggressively can quit if you go in the portal or try to declare for the league.
Mm.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Now, some guys should. Some guys shouldn't. And it kind of depends on where you're at. But I think guys will do that because either they don't want to play football anymore. So, you know, that's all right, I'm going to try to go to the league. You're done playing football. And then you realize, man, you know, another year in college would have been great just for even financially.
Sure.
Then you go into the portal knowing dang well you didn't handle your business here or anywhere.
And thinking the other school, you're
going to go somewhere else and all of a sudden handle your business. Not even crossing your mind that they have other players that want your what you possibly think you're getting or what you think you have.
Right.
So you got competition here, and that's your main competition is yourself, because most likely you went in a portal, either you're a starter or a guy that wants to go start, and they usually have to go down.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're gonna go somewhere else, like, oh man, they don't have it. Just like when I was thinking about transferring to Michigan, I was more than 1 foot out the door. Hmm. My dad was like, man, you think they ain't got players up there? I was like, no. He's like, well, they do. Yeah, no matter what Jason and Benny were telling you, no matter how many national championships you won.
Would you have felt the call to learn your roots if you had gone to Michigan? Learn your family history?
Why? What do you mean?
The Ernest Hausman story? Would you have paved the way for him?
I wouldn't have done that. I wouldn't have done that. I was going to Michigan, but I was mad. Or I thought I was mad.
You probably were mad. But you thought better of it.
I was emotional.
Ah.
Man, I was mad. Rightfully so, though.
That is an emotion.
But it helped me out long term, though.
Sure did.
Yeah.
We'll talk some more about this whole coaching carousel, the transfer portal, and more as we continue Old School here on The Ticket.
You're listening to Old School with Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
That's right. This is Old School. I'm Orman. He is Foreman. That is former Husker, a year NFL vet, Jay Foreman. Jay, as we continue talking about some coaching news in the Big Ten, a report from earlier this morning, as USC defensive coordinator Dan Lynn informing USC he's accepted the defensive coordinator job at Penn State. So Matt Campbell brings Danton Lynn home, a three-time All-Big Ten defensive back for the Nittany Lions. You've talked about it before. You mentioned it a little bit there with Kyle Whittingham. How important is this hire for Matt Campbell, making, you know, a former Nittany Lion and probably well-respected one in Lynn, his defensive coordinator, as Matt Campbell makes his way to Happy Valley?
Well, it's really important because, you know, if it fits his style, number one, and obviously a good coach, and then obviously the cherry on top is that he's a former Penn Stater, and so you're able to ease the transition for not only you, but then obviously your program and what you want to bring to Penn State. And he can be there not only as a defensive coordinator, but a confidant too. So, and you always want to have your assistant coaches or somebody that's on your staff or an analyst or something that's able to kind of teach you the ways or kind of look at your blind spot. You know, if you're, you know, analogy, you're driving a car. So I think it was a really good hire. It was really thoughtful, but then also it was needed for him, and he knows the Big Ten and knows Penn State very well. So, you know, I think he'll have some success.
I was a little skeptical of the Danton Lynn hire for USC, but you did a good job. I wouldn't say he worked miracles by any stretch of the imagination, but he got that defense to a respectable level, playing better. And of course, Penn State's become known for defense. Curious to see if what he's able to retain on the defensive side of the ball will help his schemes play up or whatnot. But at the very least, I do think having that conduit, right, between Matt Campbell, the new head coach, and probably plenty of powerful alums, you know, is as important, if not more important, than anything De'Anton Lynn will do with that Penn State defense.
Yeah, I think, you know, what they had going on at USC, he did a really good job of coming in there and obviously making them legit and trying to get them to have some toughness. He did well. We saw them up close and personal, very athletic, big physical guys. He was very I guess had some foresight in how to use some of their linebackers to cover, to cover up some of the weaknesses of the defensive line. Probably had the best safety combination. He had the second best safety in the nation. The other guy was pretty dang good as well.
Right.
And so he was versatile. I think they changed their game plan up. I watched a few games, and so they weren't just vanilla. So I think, you know, he'll do the same, you know, at Penn State. So I think his pedigree and where he was able to do. Going to USC with Lincoln Riley as the head coach, the way that they practice and the way that they play and the way that they recruited when he first got there, and then being able to kind of turn this thing around in like a, you know, two seasons, I think he's been there. It's a pretty good job. And that's why, you know, he's able to go back to Penn State.
Right now, obviously, we have a lot of football left to be played. Transfer portal's not open yet. Do you trust Indiana to go back to back and win the Big Ten? Obviously, Ohio State's always going to be up there. Can Whittingham help Michigan take another step? Does Campbell get Penn State back to the conversation? Is there more in Oregon? How much of Oregon depends on Dante Moore? Do you feel like that top five in the Big Ten is pretty set in whatever order?
Yeah, as of right now, but that's all preseason talk. I think you still got to go do it. I know Indiana's on a 2-year heater, but also you need to look at, like, when Mendoza, you know, out of his like 36 touchdowns, 30 of them came against lesser opponents. So it's factual. So what does Indiana do next year to hit that grand slam at quarterback position again? Now some of your players that came over, the Fishers and all those guys, are going to be gone. Pons will be gone. So you got 3 or 4 NFL guys that are going to be gone, and great leaders. Mm-hmm. I think, though, Indiana still will be a player. Ohio State will always be a player. I expect Penn State to be very competitive. I expect Michigan as well. So as much as we're talking about these other teams, right, when you think of, like, okay, Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, Oregon, am I missing anybody? Just as those are probably and just throw USC in there just from brand power, right? And with Lincoln Riley and his offense, they're always going to be a problem. They're always going to be in the game. Mm-hmm. And you just expect maybe they'll get a little bit better defensively, right? And maybe they'll get a little bit better on. So just say those five. Okay, well then that ups the ante for us here.
Yeah.
That, and this is not even talking about the ones that we really need to start like having our crosshairs at. The Minnesotas, Illinois, Iowa, you know, those, you know, and let's not even forget like Michigan,
Washington,
State, Washington. So, you know, it's time to knuckle up. This is where, when you're playing, when you're at a big time university in a big time conference, you know, like it's, you know, I always say like sports is not fun. It's not. Fun is winning.
Yeah.
Like that's the only thing that matters, man, is to win. And so that's where you got to really change your mindset, because everybody else is changing their mindset by who they've hired or lucked up and who they've been able to hire in any situation. So it's competition everywhere. It's going to be competition keeping your players, competition recruiting high school players, competition getting transfer portal guys, competition and maybe keeping good coaches. So it's 365. There is no off days anymore for anybody, players, coaches, and administration. So you know, that's what you signed up for. That's what you get paid handsomely for. But also, you got to make sure that you go out there and earn it, and you got to compete accordingly. It's cutthroat out there. And if you think of it any other way out there, or any way otherwise than being cutthroat, then you're fooling yourself. You're lying to yourself. Don't do that. Don't lie to yourself. This is for real. This is a pivotal time in football in general, but it's a pivotal time right here as well, because forget last year's schedule, because the schedule has already been played. Next year's schedule is the benchmark.
Yeah.
And then it's going to get even better or even higher or even harder. Well, knowing that, then you can't worry about it. You just got to make sure that you handle your business to make sure that you're able to meet the challenge.
We are essentially a day and a half out now, Jay. 2 days, I guess, from kickoff, essentially, between Nebraska and Utah. What's going on in Vegas right now if you're the Huskers 2 days before the game?
Oh, you better be locked in. If you ain't locked in by now, if you're not on edge right about now, see, it's like what, 140 out there.
Yeah,
maybe not so much, but you know you're not thinking about you're probably cutting down all the talk on the fun stuff that you did all the way up, you know, prior. Very minimal.
No more flying down Fremont Street on zip lines in the past.
Man, hey.
Shout out Matt Rule for that, man.
You couldn't get me up there, man.
Really? Zip lines are fun.
Heck no. And you know what? I've been on one before.
Mm-hmm.
You want to hear a funny story?
I need to.
I think I was in, I forget where I was at. We had to climb up this, I forget where I was at. I was down in like one of those, like, I don't know, it was like Costa Rica or something. And they take you up in like this back of this pickup, right, this bus. And I'm like, man, it's like, we go looking over the cliff. I was like, we hit one bad rock, we goner. So then they get you out of, then you got to go up, like way up there.
Mm-hmm.
But you climb like a mile.
Woo.
So you go up the steps, go flat. Yo, your boy was so tired. It was so hot. I was so tired. Once I got on that zip line, my legs were shaking. I said, you know what, man? I looked down. I said, you know what? You could just have me. I said, you know what? I'm done. I was like 265 pounds. I was done.
Woo.
I had a gray sweatshirt on, sweating through that bad boy. I was so tired because you have to get on it to keep up.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, man, bump it, you know what, this thing goes
fall,
down. Yeah, I'm fall, I'm done.
But it goes real safe. We die.
Yeah, that was exactly. I was like, you know what, I'm done. So then after that, man, I said bump it. But I mean, as you're getting into this game, man, this is serious. It's a great opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
You're playing a ranked team, so there's that. So there's a lot on the line, and nobody cares that Utah's not, you know, their two offensive tackles aren't playing.
Right.
And I think the defensive end's not playing, or outside guys, or mm-hmm. edge rusher ain't playing. Mm-hmm. You got a lot of transition, or, you know, coaching staff-wise. I'm sure the new coaches are going to come down and actively try to assist in coaching. I know Phil Snow's going to call the game. I'm sure Coach Ulrich could probably be up there. He probably wants to have a bird's-eye view or be down on the field and, you know, be there with the players. You got Coach Manning on the edge. You got, you know, multiple guys coaching defensive line. You got Coach Wade as the new offensive line coach. And so then you got the running back room that's in transition, quarterback room that's in transition. Nobody cares about that because when the game's played, you either win or you lose.
Yeah.
But if you're able to win, you get like almost like six victories. You start to knock off some of the stuff that you weren't able to do when you had the advantage of the roster and the opportunity. So now this is your last opportunity to really kickstart 2026 and then also secure yourself a spot on the team.
Have a couple players in the mix to do that, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Announced today, Nebraska will be down a defensive starter. We'll talk about that to round out hour one.
Watch Old School Live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School with Foreman and Orman. 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
That's right. We are wrapping up hour one of Old School. Back with you for two more hours after this here, 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Deshaun Singleton out of the Las Vegas Bowl will not suit up for Nebraska Huskers' second leading tackler this year. Jay, seems kind of odd to just find this out. Sounds like Deshaun Singleton had a surgery of some sort. Seems like something Matt Rhule would have mentioned before, but either way, we hear it from Phil Snow today. So Jameer Khan, Justin Rett, and others, stage is yours.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that... you know, you have surgery, and I don't know what he had, but, you know, sometimes you can, you know, there's enough time, you can be ready to play. Maybe he tried to come back, and then it was like, hey, you got, you know, and Coach Rhule, you know, has got to do a good job of making sure that you do what's best for Deshaun and the team, right? You don't mm-hmm. want him to go out there to compromise himself because he's been one of your better players and trusted players up until then, and it wouldn't do the team any good. Then you got to weigh how much is he practiced versus rehabbed and what effect could he have in the game and play up to his capabilities. And Deshaun's got to do that as well. He's got to get out of his own way. And so that's why you probably hadn't heard about it, because there was nothing final, because, you know, I've seen guys, you know, have a scope on Monday and play on Sunday, you know, in the NFL. Yeah. So just kind of depends on what was done or what was needed. And, you know, I'm sure he'll, you know, he'll be there and obviously try to lead from the sidelines. And I mean, he's obviously been a really good, you know, leader, been actually refreshing for him, you know, talking to him at the Big Ten media days. You could kind of tell he was really invested, came a long way. Mm-hmm. I think he came from JUCO, kind of really struggled the first, you know, kind of go around, found his footing, you know, late, I think, when I think Mickey brought him here, and then he kind of worked his way into a leadership role and came back. And so he you know, at times he played really well this year.
Found an extra year, was certainly a leader in the back end for Nebraska. Jay, Nebraska not at 100% strength for this game. Obviously, Deshaun Singleton is going to be out, especially on the offensive side of the ball, though. You lose a defensive leader, you're down QB1, you're down RB1, and potentially only two offensive linemen from the starting group that you had could be taking the field for Nebraska. In the context of the game against Utah, you're playing against a bunch of the same guys. Sure, they're defensive guys out, and then they're two starting tackles on the offensive side of the ball. But, you know, maybe that's better for Nebraska in some ways, right? Instead of guys playing cautious not to get hurt, guys playing, you know, with an eye on the future, these are guys with an eye on the future at Nebraska with something to prove, a chance to play loose, to play free. Hey, this is my first chance to win a job.
Oh, you better be puckered up tight. Your sphincter muscle better be real tight.
Yeah.
And in a good way. You know, I think it's, you know, look, I think Rocco's hurt, you know, the guys that can't play and that, you know, had to opt out, you understand, but then there's plenty of opportunity for, you know, Tyler Connect, you know, and Pritchard, you know, he's playing. So both of you guys want to be bookends. Pritchard, do you want to, you know, validate what you've done at times, you know, down the stretch? Tyler Connect, you were a guy that, you know, was penciled in as a starter at Big Ten media days, and then you played because of injury. Mm-hmm. Now you can remedy Nebraska's, I guess, want or have to go in there in the portal and get a tackle. Or do you have enough versatility to play guard? If you play good Wednesday at tackle, talking about him, and you're a good football player, I can't speak for Coach Wade. You're going to put the best five guys out there.
Yeah.
So if you're one of the best, this is a good way to get you one of the best five.
Mm-hmm.
If not, if they don't think you're one of the best fives, and you know you are, then you're able to go take this tape into the portal and make some money. Running back room. Yo, I'm sure. Dudes, you know, you've been over there and watching him, and you think you could tote the rock. We about to see. Linebackers, we about to see. Defensive line, we are about to see. Mm-hmm. Not just at the beginning when it's fun. When it gets grimy.
Mm-hmm.
This right here, man, it's for a lot of guys, it's make or break. A lot of guys maybe been too comfortable, you know, doesn't lead to consistency. It leads to guys, you know, some coaches getting fired. But you can't be comfortable anymore because now you got new coaches that don't know you, that are not obligated to you, and that are here to try to do a job so they can keep a job. And so if they got to go in the portal to get somebody that will do the job that you haven't done up until this point, so be it.
Yeah, just to define terms, comfortable when you say it doesn't mean locked into a job, like not feeling like there's a fire on your butt. Comfortable would mean, hey, I know what I'm doing. I know my responsibilities. Comfortable is not, I'm assured a job, so I'm just going to go out there and play.
Oh, it's both.
Well, there's a very fine line. You can get too comfortable, but you want to have some level of...
Oh, no. Some guys have been comfortable.
Yes.
I'm not saying you need to be comfortable. You can't never be comfortable. You should be comfortable and with being extremely uncomfortable. That's what I'm saying.
Sure.
And Wednesday is one of those things.
It's going to be uncomfy.
Right.
Get ready.
So you asked about the mindset. If I'm one of those guys, or if I'm wanting to be one of those guys, and I know I'm going to get some reps, there is no play time right now.
Yeah.
Comfortable in football is, you know, it's always weird when I hear guys that are on the radio that say, well, the guys like him, like the coach. Like, to me, that is the word that like, okay, you got to like you do have to like your coach to a point. I don't need to like you and be like to love you as a coach. I don't ever want that.
Yeah.
I want to love my coach, and I want, if I'm coaching a kid, when you're done and you're successful and now you understand the method to my madness, while I'm coaching you, my job is to do my job.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whether you like it or not, that's a you problem. It's never personal. It's just business. We will be like connected and we will be like friends, or, you know, not even want to say friends, we'll be there. But there also has to be a line that it can't be crossed either.
Right.
On both sides. Mm-hmm. Because I have to get the best out of you. And sometimes you might not like that because it's uncomfortable. And if you want an example, before we go to break, we just watched one of the best NFL games last night with the Bears and the 49ers. One thing that the Bears coach did, Ben Johnson?
Yeah.
He would just, out of nowhere, put Caleb Williams in a two-minute drill and give him a long play with like 26 words. I know that was exaggerated. And Caleb would be like, can we do it again? He'd be like, nope, figure it out. That's the number one pick, and that's the number of former number one pick in the whole NFL draft. And he's making him feel uncomfortable. So how dare you as an athlete think a coach can't make you uncomfortable? Because ain't nobody even close to that right now, at least that resides here in Lincoln.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of guys can say they want it until you got to do what you got to do to get it. And sometimes you need your back against the wall, do or die, and see what you're made of. And it might not even be the scenario. I might just say, Austin, you need to have a good game. And I wouldn't say it this way, but hey, we need you to have a good game, you know, kind of just based on what's coming up on Friday. I want to see how you react to extreme pressure. Mm. That tells me more about you than anything. So you're going to see.
Let's see it.
Yeah.
Should be fun for someone in Nebraska, Utah, coming up on Wednesday. We will be here. Full pregame for you ahead of the game. As always, 3 hours ahead of time here, 93.7 The Ticket, ticketfm.com. This is the postgame crew as well. Tricky Nicky, yeah, flying out to Vegas. So
they're not doing any postgame.
You and me, partner.
So
Nick will be on for pregame, but they won't hop on the radio for postgame. It'll be you and me.
All right. That sounds good.
Just the way we like it.
Yeah. Sell out.
We'll be back with hour two of Ultra.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.